Shall we stand as we read our Bible reading for tonight? It's found in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that we can be here and that we can look into your word. We thank you for your reality, for your love, your mercy and grace in our behalf. Father, we pray that even tonight we might be encouraged anew to draw near to you. Perhaps there may be somebody who doesn't know you tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to that heart and that you would speak to each and every heart, Lord, if we know you, that we'll desire to be closer to you than ever before. Bless this night and this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. The title tonight is Time to Be Real. Do you ever think through the week as we go through how important it is to have full assurance that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we have a relationship with Him? As we study these lessons for at least the next couple of weeks, we know that we are getting close to Christ coming again. And these are the things that are going to happen before He comes. And we can be relaxed in Christ knowing that we are safe in Him, even as Noah was safe in the ark. I want you to keep that in mind, because God can take us through before He takes us out. And this is for every born-again child of God. A time to be real. This is not a time to hope alone. This is a time to have assurance in our hearts that we have that relationship, that the Holy Spirit is leading us, that we see Him working in our lives. And I become excited. Now, you'll find many times as things begin to go good and you get near a mountaintop, you'll have the valleys that will come along, as we've had in our testimonies. This is told us, this is for our good, to strengthen our faith, is it not? As these things happen. It's through times like this that we're drawn close to the Lord. We find it in our lives, I'm sure you find it in your lives. Because last week's message did not get on the internet, then those who listen will probably wonder what we had. We went through the first 9 verses last week, and I'm not going to repeat that message, but I'm just going to review for a couple of minutes of what we had. We started out last week in verse 3, when the disciples asked, "What is the sign of your coming?" And we said we can rest assured that that coming means when He comes in the air to meet us, to gather together His elect in the air. It's defined in 1 Thessalonians 4. Many of you are learning that now, 4:15, where it talks about His coming, and that is a classic rapture portion of Scripture there. Then Jesus gives us a warning that is a mandatory warning. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Now, as we get on in this lesson, we're going to see that many are deceived. Many are deceived. Now, as he goes through from 5 through 8, we compared this with Revelation 6, 1 through 6, on the four horsemen. And it compares very closely. We had the white horse, which is the Antichrist going out to conquering and going out to conquer. We had the fiery red horse in verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 6, the one that takes peace from the earth. And we had the black horse, which was famine. Now, as we looked at those last week, I also mentioned that in no place in the seals does it talk about God's wrath. This is not God's wrath. But if we think of that scroll, that the Lamb was the only one to be found worthy to open it, there were seven seals. And as each seal was loosened, we find that there were certain conditions that were going to happen until the seventh one was loosened, and then the whole scroll opened, and we find that we have the trumpet judgments in Revelation 8 and 9. We are not going through those this time. We did go through Revelation, but you may read them on your own because that is what happens when this scroll is opened, those trumpet judgments. And you'll find the first in 8, I believe, the first trumpet judgments have to do with the land. And then there's three woes left, and you'll find the second next three have to do with people in the land. And so it's interesting that God has everything lined up. He is a God of perfection, is he not? He is a God of timing. In the fullness of time, Jesus was sent forth, born of a woman born under the law. God's timing is exact. It's still exact in our lives. Many times we think, oh, I wish he were here right now and he'd answer prayer. And I have many that call for prayer and they want the problem solved right now. And don't get me wrong, I'm willing to pray for you. But I know it isn't always the now part that's so important. It's that we are able to see God's glory brought about through it. Sometimes he allows us to wait so that we are drawn closer to him than ever before. I know it works that way in my life, and I don't like waiting any more than you do. But these are parts of what we learn as we walk with him. And our prayer, I believe, the closer we draw to him, the more our prayers will change. Not that we don't want answers to prayer and the needs that we have and physical illnesses and everything, because we do. But we'll pray that God would have his perfect work in us. Am I right? We want his will done. And when there are things in our lives that takes place, I believe he gets our attention that way. He surely gets mine, and I pray he does yours, that we look up. Now, we went through 5, 6, and 7. I just shared about the horses. Verse 5 says, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. It's hard to believe that people will be deceived by people who say, I am the Christ. Truly, when we know the real Jesus and how he's going to come, there should be no excuse for those who really have a relationship to be deceived. Later on, he's going to say, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. It's going to be so compelling because they'll be working miracles. Things will be happening and you'll say, this has to be real. And yet we know that Jesus will come in the air. Jesus will come in the air. We won't have to go looking for him. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air for his second coming. Verse 6 says, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So these things are part of God's plan. They are a refining of God's people. And then it says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Truly, we can see many of these things taking place already, and they will intensify as we get into this first part of Daniel's 70th week. And last week, we said that the first three seals, the first three horsemen, are between the beginning over here on our left, number one, and number two is the center. So we had one, small a, small b, and small c representing the three horsemen. First three horsemen. The fourth horseman comes on a pale horse. And this one, I will find that it's very different. When in Revelation it says he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four fourth living creature, saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. The name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power is given him over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Here we have our great tribulation, and that's after the center part, as the restrainer, Michael, is taken away, as Satan is cast down from heaven. You can imagine the conflict and the things that are going to happen with no restraining. And so as we look at verse 9 in chapter 24, and this is as far as we went last week, it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." As we get to this portion, we will find that things will be very difficult for the Christian. Now, this is why I say it's important. It's time to be real. It's time to be real. The reason Jesus told us these things, and the reason I preach these things, is because I believe it's important to know before it happens, so when it comes to pass, we might believe. These are Jesus' words, and truly, they are what we want to be able to stand upon. If I know this is going to take place, I don't have to be looking around to see if this is what's happening. Much will be confusion. We're going to see that in the next three verses as we take these. Much of life will be confusion. And we want to avoid confusion. We want to know what God's word says, and we want to be able to stand firm. Now, the next part that we go over is going to be difficult for many people to listen to. Many people will shy away and say, "I don't want to hear this." It's difficult to preach when people don't want to hear it. You understand what I'm saying? This is why, as we come to know Christ and can totally rest in Him, there are two different things that many people, and I say that scripturally, many will say, "Lord, Lord," and He said, "I never knew you." So on the basis of Scripture, I can say there's two different things. There will be many people who will know about God and figure they're in. There are those, that remnant, who will know Christ and as a result know God because they've come through Calvary. They have invited Christ to come into their hearts to forgive their sins with the sincerity and the dedication that they're ready to follow Him and to be taught, to be teachable. This is such an important quality for anybody as they come to God's Word to ask the question, "Am I teachable? Am I real?" I am not saying that to have anybody doubt their salvation. The real won't worry about it because Paul tells us, "Examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith." That's scriptural. So I'm going by scripture. Examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Those that are in the faith will find themselves thanking Him over and over again as you go through the week. Am I right? Thank you, Lord. My constant praise is thanking Him for what He's done. My constant prayer is, "Keep me faithful, Lord, in the way that You want me to go. Open my eyes. Lead me and guide me." As David prayed, you know that's my prayer. "Show me Your way, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation. And You I wait all the day long." Now, the next verse, verse 10. "Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Notice the feelings of viciousness that begin to take place. There's no restrainer. Satan has been cast down. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with power, all power, signs, and lying wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Now, we find the lawless one, the man of sin, or the Antichrist as we call him, we find that he's going to be working no doubt with Satan possessing him and giving him his power to do these works and this viciousness of trying to destroy God's people. He's tried all through history, and he's still trying because he knows as he's cast down, he has but a short time. He will not have the ability to come before God anymore. We had that in Revelation 12, I think last week or the week before. And so he's out to do everything he can. You might ask, are you making up a story? No, this is God's plan from the beginning of the ages, is it not? Ever since Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin into the world, man has had to deal with the sin question. And there's not a thing we can do, because naturally there's none that seeks God, Paul tells us in Romans 3. There's none that understands. There's none who do good. We've all gone out of the way, like sheep we've gone astray. But praise God, Jesus came. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. And he's opened the way through the veil unto God. He's our intermediator, is he not? We go through Jesus to God himself directly. He paid the price once and for all. By one sacrifice, he forever perfected those who are being set apart for him. We find that in Hebrews. One sacrifice, he's paid the price forever. And this is the important part. Have we received him, and do we trust him? And are we willing to take his word as truth without trying to change it? Many will be offended, will betray one another. As I look at this, we find that, as we read in the other scriptures, one will be taken and one left. One will be received up to Christ and one left. They're both working in the field. They're both together. It shows a closeness, but one will be ready and one won't. We read the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five would be ready and five won't. They had to go and buy oil. I see symbolism there, but I see the Holy Spirit missing. Possibly had good works, possibly went to church, possibly were confirmed, took communion, and all the rest of it. But see, none of that saves us, does it? Maybe they were even baptized. Still doesn't save us. We need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what we're here to preach the gospel, that he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended up on high. We have that privilege as the invitation goes out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We can't work our way. We can't pay our way. But we can come and freely present ourselves to him and ask him to come in and change us and take over in our lives. Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. As I look around the world, I see this idea of hate increasing. Do you see that? You listen to the news and you can't help but see the hatred. The hatred against the Jews, the hatred against the Christian, and it's increasing. That's what my Bible says is going to happen. Let's look at the next verse. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many false prophets. Now, we already had in verse 4, Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. But now we're into the great tribulation, and many will be deceived. Many false prophets. They will come with various names. Some will come as prophets, saying they're prophets, or apostles. I don't believe we have any of those, because none of the ones today can see the living Jesus, can they? And we're based upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. That's the foundation. But we do have the other gifts today of pastors and teachers and so forth. Many false prophets will rise up. When we went through the book of Jeremiah, before we've started some of these, I can't even remember all the preaching that I've done. But I know we took quite a while going through the book of Jeremiah. And as we looked at Jeremiah preaching, and along would come a false prophet. And you can go throughout the whole Old Testament as we study the prophets. And what was the big difference between the false prophets and the prophets who could say, thus saith the Lord? Oh, they'd all say that, thus saith the Lord. But what was the difference? the prophets of God, it would come true. That was the thing. Any other difference? The false prophets, most generally, had an easy message. They had something that the people liked. Now you're going to find it'll work the same way in churches many times, won't it? Maybe different titles. But there are those who will preach an easy message that people like. I pray that as we come to places, possibly as people move out or those who are listening and you evaluate what you're listening to, I pray that you would evaluate what is being preached and also what is not being preached. Because all of God's word is given by inspiration of God, is it not? And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Sometimes we can sin in leaving out parts of the Bible that should be necessary, would give us instruction. And I thought of many of these topics: homosexuality, abortion, complaining or fault-finding. We could go on, couldn't we? All of these are sin according to the Bible and are labeled that way. And we have those who tell us that the Bible is changing. We have those who have changed the Bible. And we are warned, don't add to or don't take away, because everything that we have is sufficient for our every need. It's sufficient for our every need. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. We have an idea when God says few and many. He gives us a hint. He says there were few saved during the flood. 8 persons. That's few, isn't it? And we have several of his descriptions of many and few. And there will be few that enter. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and few there be that find it. I pray there's more than 8. But I do know the Bible is always true, and there's no exaggeration. There will be few. And so that's once again why the title, It's Time to Be Real. Who are we to be real to? All our neighbors and everything? Well, it's good to be real to them too, but to ourselves. It's time to be real to ourselves and evaluate that we are real with Christ and our relationship is real, and that we've yielded ourselves to him and being willing to follow him as we take his word and believe. And then we have another verse in verse 13. Oh, let's take 12. I don't want to miss that. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness will abound. It seems like that's happening today, and yet it's going to intensify from what we're told and as we read here. And it says, the love of many will grow cold. That love, the love for the Lord, the love for others, the love for his word, we find that in Ephesians 2, God gives this wonderful commendation to the church at Ephesus, but he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. When the lawyer came and said, what is the great commandment? Jesus said that you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that you love your neighbor. The second commandment is like to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. He says, on these hang all the law and the prophets. The beautiful chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Well, we could go on with love. But in this period of time, the love of many will grow cold. They won't have that family love. Do you see that happening around the world today? The love for our kids? The love for that child that we're caring? How can we do what we do on an international scale with human life? The love of many will grow cold. And of course, we know that even the love of family members, one for another. And this is tragic. And when I think of betraying one another and I think of that love, I think of family members. One of the most important types of love that we can have. And then we go to verse 13. He who endures to the end shall be saved. That does not mean that if we die, we're lost. This means on enduring to the end that we do not fall in one of these other classes of our love growing cold, of betraying one another, of falling. Because can we lose our salvation? No. But we will surely find out that what we thought was salvation is not real. And that's why I said time to be real. I don't know of any way that anybody's going to stand apart from the power of God, although there will be some that will last physically without taking the mark or without all the things that are coming to pass. But only by the power of God. I know it. I look at my life, and there was a time when I was younger, I thought I was fairly strong and could do things. Yeah, you hear me laugh. You get a little older, you find out you don't have quite what you used to have. Anybody here yet? But I am not thinking of lasting by my own power. In order to stay close to Christ, it's going to be because His Holy Spirit is working within me. That's what it means to endure. And it says, he who endures to the end. I mentioned, I think last week, as we were watching Pilgrim's Progress, that's a wonderful book if somebody hasn't read it. It was written by John Bunyan. He was in prison, didn't even want to publish it, and yet he couldn't get rid of this dream he had. And so he wrote it down, let part of it go, and finished later to write the rest of it. And as I watched, and we don't watch very much. In fact, that was the first DVD we've watched, two in the last probably 6, 7, 8 months. That was one of them. And I saw as Christian was making his way through the gate, the wicked gate. We go through Calvary, don't we? Through Jesus. He's our gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And his burden was relieved. But it didn't stop his problems. He had tests all the way through. And I thought, well, surely he's close to the city. He could see it, that glorious city. And then they'd tell him, well, stay faithful. There's things that are still difficult, and you've got to watch, and you've got to stay on the right trail. And lo and behold, there were tests that would test his faith almost to the maximum until he got to the door and presented his certificate. Then the door was opened to him, and he was taken into the celestial city. And then Ignorant came along not long after that. They had met him back on the way, and he wasn't in a real hurry. And Christian asked him, did you come through the gate? Oh, I don't. He said, I don't need to do that. And he was coming on his way, and he got up, and he pounded on the door. And, of course, according to the picture, the earth opened up. He was that close. Well, we know Lot's wife was that close. The angel had her by the hand, and she was instructed not to look back. But she looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. You say, what about that? If you read Luke 17, we are warned, remember Lot's wife. He gives us the instructions for when these things begin to happen, what we're supposed to do. And I don't ever hear that preached. As far as I know, I'm the only one preaching it, but I'm sure there must be others. But when it says, remember Lot's wife, that makes it literal in my mind. That means I'm to recognize the importance to keep on all the way to the end, and that it's time to be real. It's time to be real. I'm not going to have time. I've still got 6 minutes. I'm going to take time. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 13? This is for all of our good, so I pray you don't mind a minute or two. Revelation chapter 13. When we had Revelation 12, we were talking about the serpent, that old serpent of old, the great dragon that was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. And in verse 17 of chapter 12, the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel. We had talked about that as Israel. And went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan went to make war with the woman who was Israel and with the church, the remnant of her offspring. Now, in chapter 13, we have the beast, and I won't get into real detail, but he's going to turn out to be the Antichrist, the one that the serpent works through. I'm going to begin with verse 1. This is John talking. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the horns and the crowns have to do with kings and kingdoms, and maybe we'll have time sometime to go back in Daniel and talk about that. I don't plan on it at this time. But let's go on. It gives a description. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. This is Satan, found in chapter 12, verse 9. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. So that's our defining of what this dragon is. Now the dragon's the one that gives him his power, his throne, his great authority. He will be working according to the power of Satan, 2 Thessalonians 2. He's going to be like a miracle. And this is a study. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and a deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. It'll be as if he came back from the dead. You will find an attempt to duplicate everything that Jesus is. We have the unholy trinity of the dragon, the false prophet, and Satan. We have a holy trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, people are going to go after one or the other. They'll be deceived by the satanic power of what is happening if they haven't taken time to be real. Let's go on. Verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. When it says great things, it's hideous things. His tabernacle and those who dwell in them. And it was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Now, did you all catch that? That overcome is physically. That's physically, not spiritually. He'll try spiritually, but it's physically. That's as far as we're going to go tonight. I pray it's been meaningful. Shall we stand? Father, we thank you for the message tonight and for your word. We pray that you would bless abundantly those who came out. Dismiss us with the fullness of joy and blessing. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. They answered and said, amen.